Welcome, everybody, to the Thursday edition of the Sports Machine with Slim here on WKXL Radio, nhtalkradio.com. That's where you can go to listen live to the show every day or listen to any past episodes. I do think yesterday's episode was rather entertaining. Did a lot of patting myself on the back and patting Thomas Poke on the back too. Great job, Thomas. This Bruins team, just so much fun to root for. And tonight, Bruins will be at Carolina, finishing up a six-game road trip, coming off a game where they played at Nashville the other day. Nashville, one of the tougher teams in the league. Now going in to play Carolina, a team we want to beat. They're real close to us in the standings. Let's see what happens, but you just know the Bruins are coming to play. It's just that simple. It's a guarantee. They're coming to play tonight. We're going to hit. We're not going to back down. And you better look out when we come at you because our guys can finish. The passing on this team and the offensive end has been fantastic. The Bruins are the team, man. I can't say that strongly enough. The other team that I'd like to say is going all the way is NC State in college basketball. Oh, man, do I love this team. The DJ Burns, how can you not love this cat? He's out there. He's talking to the crowd during the game. He's got a huge smile. And even when he's shaking hands after the games, yes, okay, he's winning, so of course he's in a good mood. But I just like the way he greets everybody. He just seems like somebody who kind of has, like, respect for people. Really next level. There's something about this guy that's really just, to me, jumps off the charts. And if I'm an NBA team, I'm like, I don't know where, like, what you're going to do, where you're going to be. But, I mean, I kind of would want him on my team. And not just to be joking around with because he seems like a ton of fun and the smile and stuff, you know. But it feels like he's the type of guy who, like, roots for everybody. And I'm rooting for this NC State team. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit today. We'll do it in segment two. Just about their team. The players they got, because I've been watching them every game because I liked them. I liked them when, at the end of the NC State against Duke game in their tournament, the ACC tournament, which NC State won 5 games in a row in 5 days. I started rooting for them and watching them. Like, this team's good, dude. They have all the pieces. I love the Horn dude who plays point for them and scores. Marcel can get his own shot. These guys all came from different schools. None of their players that played, the 7 guys that played the other night in their Elite Eight win against Duke, none of those guys played at NC State to start their college careers. Pretty cool how they just all came together, and now there's something really special going on. And I just am rooting for them, man, against Purdue. And I know I'm this type of guy who just latches onto the story and gets emotional with teams because I just like them. I like their personalities or something about them. Well, I just look at NC State, too, and I go, from a talent perspective, they have all the pieces. And even in the game against Duke in the Elite Eight, I watched the first half. I was like, man, I just think Duke's better than them. But there's something going on with NC State. It's like a bigger energy. And I wonder if it has to do with this Mo Diarra guy who's Muslim and going through Ramadan. And like, maybe it's just a relationship with God is looking over this team. I mean, at some point, you have to go, like, there's almost a higher power involved here. This team has won 9 in a row. And as I heard yesterday, NC State, remember, they needed to win the ACC tournament to get in. Well, in the semifinals, they were down by 3 against Virginia. And Virginia had an 85% free throw shooter on the line with, like, 7 seconds left in the game. He misses. And me and Dave talked about how awful a decision it was to not have their rebounders in position for the free throw. He pulled everybody back to half court because I guess he didn't want his players to foul. Well, the Virginia player misses. NC State grabs the rebound, advances the ball up the court, and I'm pretty sure it was the McConnell dude banks in a 3 at the buzzer to tie the game and go into overtime. That's how NC State has gotten here. They then went on to beat North Carolina in the finals of the tournament, right? The big ACC. And now they steamroll into the tourney here, the big one, and they, for my money, have played the toughest road on the way in. I could spend the whole hour talking about NC State. I think I will spend a bunch of the time. I mean, I'm definitely going to do it in segment two and maybe three and talk about the matchup against Purdue. And you know Purdue's guys are better than they were last year. There's just no doubt about that. The Smith kid, who's the point guard, but he ain't that fast, is all I'm going to tell you. And if he tries to guard DJ Horn, he's going to be in trouble. Purdue is going to have to keep containment from one-on-one battles, because Edie ain't going to be able to roam, dude. If Edie roams, DJ Burns is a smart guy. He's going to know where to go. He just knows the game. So, and he's huge. So if he gets an angle and seals positioning on Edie, he's not going to be able to get it over around. He's slow. So I really think, the more I'm thinking about this game, I really think NC State, I think they're going to win. I just think they're the better team. So I'll break some of that stuff down. But yesterday we did have some interesting news I wanted to touch on. The Bills traded Stephon Diggs, huh? No, I don't want to spend all day talking about draft projections for the Patriots and like how Mayo's first few days as coach is going and the interviews and stuff. Like, I don't care. The Patriots have been in last place forever, it seems like now. All right, it's been 2 years, but on the heels of what happened with Tom Brady for so many years, like, dude, we went down here real quick. I ain't going to sit and talk about your draft position right now. But I will talk about the Bills, who, remember, it wasn't this end of this season. It was the season before. Remember, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs were Stephon Diggs was mad at Allen when they lost 2 years ago in the playoffs. And I think he, left the team for a little bit or something postseason, or he didn't talk to the team at all. Like one of these, I'm going to take my Buffalo Bills, I'm not going to follow them on Instagram anymore, one of these childish things. Something like that happened. But then it got patched up. He comes back for last year as a decent year. Now the Bills are trading Diggs to the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud. Get your C.J. Stroud for MVP tickets while you can. I mean, C.J. Stroud looks so good this year. I don't know how he would regress and get worse. That guy looks like a stud. And now you have Stephon Diggs, who Diggs is the type of player you want to have for 1 year. That's 1 year, maybe two. I mean, listen, he was awesome with Minnesota. And they're like, dude, we just can't take this anymore. And so then he goes to Buffalo, where he's been incredible. This season got hurt, not as good this season, whatever. But now Buffalo's like, okay, we're done. See ya. You wonder what that's going to do to Josh Allen. What's going to happen up there? He hasn't gotten through with Stephon Diggs. Imagine if Josh Allen finally does it next year. I don't think he can with that McDermott. They have to fire McDermott. And I'm not being mean here. That's just that guy. Dude, you can't be up with 16 seconds left in a road playoff game and kick off to Kansas City and not make them take any time off the clock, first of all, with the kickoff. That was obvious. But then on top of it, you just can't be the coach of the team that blows that lead, or else, as I'm a player in the locker room, you guess what? You're the coach that called all that stuff, dude, and I'll never forget it. It's just in the back of my mind, and I don't want that to be in the back of my mind. You know what? Because that's holding me up from success. When you have these little doubts and thoughts in the back of your mind, that stops you from reaching success. NC State has no doubts, baby. You watching that team? That DJ character, the big guy. My 5-year-old son, as I'm leaving the room for a minute, going to the other in the kitchen to do something, he goes, I said, oh, NC State scores. Yeah, who scored? He goes, the big guy. DJ, I love him. I love watching this kid. And it's going to be so awesome to see him go up against Edie on Saturday. These two monsters. I mean, we watch Burns here, and he's a monster. We know it, but he doesn't play that physical. Have you seen a mix-up in all this time? I have not seen him have a dust-up. I saw him go against Baycott in the finals there at the ACC. I mean, they went against Virginia, who is a scrappy team. They play physical on defense. I have not seen one thing ever as a negative reaction from DJ Burns. This is a dude I would love to interview, because this is a guy I think should be more famous even than he is, and that's why I'm hoping that story continues. I'm rooting, actually, on the women's side of things, I'm kind of rooting for NC State to play against UConn on the women's side. Wouldn't that be awesome? You get the matchup on both sides, NC State against UConn, men's and women's. What a battle of schools. That would be something just absolutely nuts. What's the likelihood of that? Especially, I mean, in and of itself, NC State on the men's side, how unlikely that would be. If NC State on the women's side beats South Carolina, the undefeated number one team all year, you'd be like, dude, all right, I think if I should have my kid go to NC State. Something in the water there. There we go. WKXL Radio. This is The Sports Machine with Slim. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire. That's how you can find us on the radio. On the internet, nhtalkradio.com. NC State and Purdue, Saturday, 6.09 p.m. Eastern Time. Which is relevant to Mo Diarra. What time of day it is, it matters to that cat right now. Ramadan. You know when it ends? You probably don't, and that's why I'm talking about it right now. I'll give you some knowledge. That's what we do here. That's what I do. That's what we do on the Sports Machine with Slim. Come on. Come on, let's be serious. How good is this radio show? It really, from a sports talk perspective, give me a break, dude. Way better than what you're going to hear out there. I mean, I'm not being overly, like, rewarding myself. I'm just talking facts. You know, I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal other than to say, like, I'm better than everybody else at this. Just listen to the other sports channels. I will say, Greg Hill, incredible interviewer. Man, I got a lot of respect for that dude. He does a great job interviewing people. He's funny. He manages in a way to work in, like, tough questions while being friendly, nice, and fun about it. And then very professional. Height of professional for me. I know he relaxes. He's making jokes as a personal, but he's very, very good at his job. I got a lot of respect for Greg Hill. And he does a lot of stuff for charity. Fantastic things. Events all the time. Really built a great career for himself inside of radio. Congratulations, Greg Hill. NC State against Purdue. Now listen, Purdue is a team, I said last year, well, beginning of this year almost, I wonder if Purdue can lose last year in their first round and then come back and win it in the second year. And I know I heard some of this on ESPN the other day about how, well, Virginia did that a little bit ago and they're the only team who's done it. And I think that's the only team that's lost as a one seed to 16 besides Purdue last year. Am I right? Or was there one team in the middle here maybe? There might have been one other, but I don't think so. I think these are the two. And now you're going to have that talk cranking up out of this world. Purdue's a team of destiny. And then you go from there to go, yeah, when they beat NC State because they're huge favorites and UConn's big favorites over Alabama. It's just so people know, UConn's 12-point favorite, as I saw this morning here, over Alabama. You got to put up 750 on the money to make 100 against UConn. Wow. Like, people think UConn's definitely going to win. You're getting plus 525 on Alabama. They've scored over 100, like four out of their last seven games or something stupid like this. Alabama can score the ball. And they're coming down to shoot threes, man. They're coming down to shoot threes. So you need to get back on defense, which I said a couple times here now to people I know. And I think I said it on the air yesterday, is if you're UConn, I'm telling you right now, Danny Hurley is a coach who's like prides himself on being so smart, right? And everybody's saying how great he is and UConn's unbeatable. It's like they got a bubble around him. They're definitely going to win the tournament and trophy, right? So he's going to continue to be the smartest guy out there and the best coach. Look what he's built at UConn. I think that's how this guy thinks. And what I think is he's doing during the practices is he's telling his kids, you need to get back on defense. You need to get back because look at this. Look at how Alabama gets a rebound, outlet pass, boom, up to the next guy, boom, they're stopping and firing from three. Or everybody else is running on Alabama. They're getting to their spots. The guy's coming down penetrating, faking from three, drawing the defender, and then kicks it to an open shooter because everybody didn't get back. That's what happens with Alabama. They come down looking to shoot. They're running fast break stuff all the time with a trailer who they're looking to get the ball to three. So UConn's focus this week is going to be on getting back on defense. Well, just play this forward to Saturday. And I'm just putting a reason why I think Alabama has a chance to win. And I'm going to continue to pick a thing and have a take and go against UConn all the way. And if they play NC State, I'm going to go against them. If they play Purdue, I'm going to say, okay, sorry, I was wrong. After all this talk, sounding so confident, if UConn and Purdue are playing in the finals, all right, yeah, you know, just sign it. It's over. I might not even watch. UConn's gonna win. They're just too fast, too good for, you know, Purdue could never, ever, ever in a billion years beat UConn, is how I feel. But I think both teams can lose on Saturday, and UConn's guys, when they are on the offensive end. And a big part of their team is shooting from outside as well. When they're rising into the air to shoot their threes, what's going to be in their mind? I got to get back on defense. Because Hurley's been telling them all week. Well, when your mind is on, I got to get back on defense, it's not on finishing the shot, making the three, and feeling dominant like you have been. So if you rise up and you miss a couple of threes to start the game, I'm just saying, UConn could go cold. And they've gone cold in the past and still been able to win with defense. Alabama just has a way to get a crazy hot, dude. And they'll wear you down, too. I think UConn's obviously in great shape, so who knows what's going to happen there in that game. I just give Alabama a chance, and I want to root for Alabama. I want to root for the Sears kid, the smallest guy out there, you know, who's just making winning moves. And they beat my team, UNC, so I give them credit. I think that's a heck of a win. I really do. I think UNC was, just a really strong, strong team. So let's see what happens there. The NC State, though, that's my take. That's my fun. I mean, you talk about ratings. How high are the ratings going to be for NC State in this game with Purdue? Both games, really. I saw that for the women's game, Iowa, it was the most heavily bet on female game of all time and right next to, I think, the most heavily watched female game of all time, something like that. People love Caitlin Clark. Talk about the story, her coming back, Angel Reese, right, the hand in the face stuff where Reese was kind of putting it in her face last year. And then Caitlin Clark comes out just with total professionalism. Helps her team win, really makes her team win, and then doesn't even brag about it. That's it. It's on to the next game. And now they're here against a UConn team that's going to be tough. South Carolina goes against NC State. That's the women's battle. I wonder what the ratings will be. We'll see. Probably UConn and Iowa. I mean, not for nothing. The casual fan, who are you rooting for? Because you always like to root against the teams that win all the time. That's UConn, right? They've always won. I'm kind of rooting for them just because it's like, be a cool story to come in as an underdog, actually. Good coaching story. I'm into that type of stuff. And I like Ariyama. Do you know Ariyama? So I got nothing against that dude. I think he's done a pretty great job over there, obviously. Has class, as far as I'm concerned. But the NC State guys, let's talk about this. So DJ Burns, he went to Winthrop for a couple of years. DJ Horn, he comes from Illinois State. He's a senior. I think this is his fifth year. So I think he played 3 or 4 years with Illinois State. Casey Morsell was at Virginia for a couple of years. He's the spot-up shooter, and he can get his own shot, too. He's their shooter. Eric Gordon type, almost, in the NBA. I wouldn't put him in Ray Allen. I don't know. You know, he's more individual than Ray Allen was. Ray Allen would work to get open and catch the ball and release. This guy can do some of that. 11 points a game. He scores. Mo Diarra, he was averaging 6.4 points on the season, but he's been a lot better than that recently, just as far as his value. He came from Missouri. Michael O'Connell came from Stanford. He's 5.8 points a game. Their big guy off the bench, Ben Middlebrooks, he gets 5.8 a game. He's from Clemson. And then this Jaden Taylor guy, who hasn't been scoring much over the last bunch of games, but he actually was averaging 11.2 points a game. He came from Butler. All these guys came from different schools. They come together. Look at the personnel. DJ Burns is the, you know, the fame guy. He relates well. He's the guy, likable guy everybody's into, the big likable dude. DJ Horn is the fast, experienced guy for my money. He leads this team in scoring. 16.8. Like he's the guy that has the advantage when you go against Purdue from a speed standpoint. That's why I look at in this game and say, DJ Horn's got to be the guy that's going to score. We want him to kind of carry the load. Don't go into the game thinking DJ Burns. You're not going to be posting up with him in all the time. No, no, if you're posting him up, you're doing it only to get an open lane to try and kick to somebody. But I don't think Purdue is going to help off their shooters, right? Because Edie is in the middle. So if Painter from Purdue knows what he's doing, you don't help off of your guy to help with Burns. You let Zach Edey get him. Can Burns score one-on-one against Edey? I don't know. I think that's where Keats, from the coach of NC State, he needs to be working with the off-the-ball guys to come off of picks. Lots of movement. Not standing and waiting. You're going to have to actively move if the coaches do things right, which I don't trust that they do. I'm just telling you how the game should be played on both sides. But the coaches may not do this, and if they don't, then they're more likely to lose. That's all I can tell you. But I hope that Burns can find a way to score a few buckets, draw Edey out of the middle. You might have to do pick-and-roll stuff a bunch there. That makes some sense, doesn't it? But I don't remember that I've seen DJ Burns doing tons of pick-and-roll. I'm sure he can. He's got incredible feet. So I guess you could get your shot off that way, right? Heck, you got, yeah, if you come off a screen, not for nothing, Purdue's defenders, boy, they're going to have to go under Edey and DJ Burns. It's a pretty sick pick. Like, there's just a lot of beef there for a defender. If you can't get over the top of the pick or get into it, if it's tight, how are you going to go under those two guys and then regroup? NC State's going to get some open shots from three, and they're going to knock them down, and NC State's going to win. Let's talk a little bit more about Ramadan and what's going on with Mo when we come back here. Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord. You know where it is in Manchester, 101.9 FM, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Of course, the Celtics had the game last night. Welcome back to the Sports Machine with Slim. The Celtics, I hope they're going to win it all this year. I don't think they're going to win it all anymore. I'm just not playing their game. I am not going to play their game. Yes, I have like five Boston Celtics t-shirts and two Celtics baseball hats, a Celtics winter hat. Plenty of Celtics basketball cards in different spots, but not a lot, not too much, actually. I have a lot of Celtics paraphernalia, is what I'm saying. And I have been a huge fan of the Celtics since I was a little kid. And every year I think they're going to win the title, even back when we had like Ricky Davis and these, you know, not good players. Although Ricky Davis is fine. I still thought the Celts were going to do good. Gave him a chance. Hope springs eternal. But man, these last few years, it's been rough. The KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen year, that was the best. That was just so good because KG is just such a tough dude. And he made it happen. And the other guys stepped up. Paul Pierce definitely stepped up. Made it happen too. But Kevin Garnett, one of my favorite Celtics of all time. Probably Larry Bird and then Kevin Garnett, really. But I just can't do it anymore with them. I can't think they're going to win anymore. There's no question they have the best team, talent-wise, this year. And people have been talking about this word talent for years regarding the Celtics. And I never liked that talk. I was like, what do you mean talent? Talent in basketball only gets you so far, dude. You have to be the guy that's going to make shots. You have to be the guy that like brings your team together. It's a team game. You have five players. If other guys aren't doing their job, you start to get upset and things like fray. And eventually in the high-powered or important games, those fractures like pop out and show. So the Celts, I think they look like they're having fun. Looks like a great locker room. I think we got winners on the team. I'm hoping. I guess I don't think I hope. But I know we do, actually. Jrue Holiday's a winner. You can't say that otherwise. He's just not. He is. He's a winner. The way he plays and the fact that he's won. That kind of qualifies it. Nobody else in the Celts really has won anything, no. So, you want to win? This is your time, guys. It's that simple. If you want to win, if you want so that people like Slim on the Sports Machine with Slim, hosting radio shows. If you want them to never be able to say that you guys haven't won anything, then you need to go and win. And this is your year. And if you don't do it this year, then, I mean, who's going to call you a winner? It's your time. Celtics, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. It's that simple. Let's see what happens with this team moving forward. I'm rooting for them. First round, though, you better watch out. You get Philadelphia. That's the one team I am saying you better watch out. Miami, I'm not afraid of them, actually, because I think we're just going to be mad. And if we get mad, I think we have too many guys that can get focused on an individual night and be reasons for why we win. The Heat, you got Bam, and you got Jimmy Butler. Duncan Robinson, okay, but, you know, Tyler Hero not there no more, right? It's kind of nice. Let's see. NC State. I keep coming back to them because college basketball to me is just so interesting. Really, even looking at how like things lined up to get into this big tournament, I've really been scratching my head. How the heck did the Mountain West get six teams in the field of 64, like or whatever, 68? How did they get six teams into the dance chance? And the Big East only gets three. Meanwhile, you have Seton Hall in the finals of the NIT. And they won by like 20. They beat Georgia 84-67 in the semifinals. Seton Hall did. Seton Hall within the Big East, they finished fourth with a 13-7 record. In conference, 13-7. Sounds good. Fourth best team in the Big East. How did they not get in, dude? They had three teams out of the Elite Eight. Marquette and Creighton went down in the Elite Eight. They had three teams out of the Final Eight. How does the fourth team, Seton Hall, not get in there? And on top of it, how does St. John's, remember this talk at the beginning of the tournament, things move fast and move forward, so we're not, you know, rewinding and thinking, but St. John's was 11-9 in conference. Heck, they lost in the tournament to UConn. I think it was 100-95. That's entertaining, good basketball. Yet the NCAA doesn't put St. John's in. And so Rick Pitino's like, I'm not playing your game. I'm not going to the NIT. Thanks anyway. I'm not playing your game, NCAA. And it turns out he's totally right, dude. Seton Hall was fourth in the Big East. They didn't get an NCAA tournament invite. They're now in the finals of the NIT, smashing a team by 17 in the semifinals. How the heck did Seton Hall and St. John's not get into this tournament? And six Mountain West teams got in. Five of them were like pathetically atrocious. And Utah State was the only one, I think, who won a round, and they lost to Purdue by about a billion. Looks like they didn't even belong there. So it made me go back and think and watch some of these games. And even the reffing in the Elite Eight games with Marquette and Creighton. Thinking back, I was like, boy, they really held the whistle in that Creighton game. I'll tell you that. They let Tennessee play physical. And there was such a speed difference there, and I think strength difference as well for Tennessee, that, I don't know, to ref the game that way just kind of, to me, seemed like you wanted Tennessee to win. Then you see Tennessee comes out against Purdue, and, you know, Purdue beats them. I guess it was a close game. It was back and forth. But I just go, I don't know if Purdue beat anybody on the way here. Grambling, Utah State, Gonzaga, who got destroyed against St. Mary's in their conference tournament. I know St. Mary's lost by 30 in the first round of the big tournament. Well, that even makes more of a head scratcher. Gonzaga just wasn't that good, people. Their record's 25-7, but they only had two losses in conference. They beat everybody, smashed them. They lost twice to St. Mary's. And that, you know, so all those wins in conference, they ain't that impressive. They're good, okay. But that don't mean you're playing at the level of these other conferences, certainly not of the Big East. I mean, what would their records be in the Big East? yet the Big East doesn't get these teams in. It's just like, I don't know, did they want, like, did the committee have something in mind to go against the Big East teams? Did they want Creighton to lose to Tennessee? To have it ref that way? NC State, I mean, they beat Marquette in a great game. That was a great game. I do remember there being some questionable reffing calls during the game, though. I seem to think that that went in Marquette's favor. So I was just wondering that, like, from the NCAA, what do they have against the Big East? It's obviously something, dude. It's obviously something. Is it because of all this realignment with the big divisions within, you know, college sports and football, obviously, we talk about all the time? There's been a lot of movement in basketball, too. Mountain West gets six teams in, Big East gets three. Who's making the decisions around here? Who's on the committee? I'd like you to call into the show. I'd like to have a word with you if I could, please. I'll take all of you. I'd love to hear your justifications as to how you let six teams from the Mountain West come in and three from the Big East. Just seems like something strange going on there. Whatever. NC State beat a good team. Marquette was very good. NC State, who'd they beat to get here? They beat Texas Tech, a six seed. They beat Oakland, a very good underdog play that beat Kentucky in the first round. So Oakland was no joke, dude. Their guy could shoot. NC State beats them. Then they beat Marquette, very good team, top eight team in the country, come on. And then NC State goes and beats Duke. Well, they're beating Duke for the second time out of their last nine games, in case you don't know this. Like, let's look at NC State's schedule here, the teams that they beat. They've won five games in the conference tournament in which they beat Duke and NC State, and now they come back and they're beating Duke again here. Look at this road NC State's playing versus the road that Purdue played. Hey, NC State's definitely had the harder run here in the tournament. Enough for nothing, Purdue lost to Indiana, didn't they? Oh, sorry, Illinois in their conference tournament. NC State ain't lost in nine games. They're on fire, dude. They're on top of the world. I can't wait to watch this game. Right now, NC State, plus 340, getting 9 points. Huh. I make a convincing argument is all I'm going to say. Maybe it's Zach Edey's time. Maybe they're just going to the finals so they can lose to UConn. Like this magical run they're on, they're just going to go all the way and lose in the finals. Well, why not just lose in the Final Four? Because NC State has their own magic clicking right now. We'll work in some other stuff as we come back here from the Sports Machine with Slim on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Thanks for listening. Love it. New Hampshire Talk Radio. That's where to be. Boston Red Sox are not going to be taking up a ton of time here on the Sports Machine with Slim, I'll tell you right now. I am fully focused and invested in the Celtics and the Bruins, most of all. Celtics are just too good. Like, I can't watch some of these games. Teams, they're not playing hard. We're up by 20. It's like, guys aren't playing competitive basketball. I'd way rather watch college. And so I'd way rather talk about what I'm watching and what I'm into. And if I was betting, what I'd be betting on, but I'm not betting. NC State is fun. That's fun basketball. These kids are playing, and they got a story behind it. Once you know the story, it just makes you want to root for the players that much more. That's what I'm into, and that's the deal with the Bruins for me. Why talk so much about the Bruins? Like, these guys all have their own individual situations going on, man. And they're fun. They're battling together. So I like to talk about it on the radio, because I respect what they're doing, and Jim Montgomery most of all. I mean, I told you people, last week I mailed in a letter to the Boston Bruins front office. I put, you know, CEO Jim Montgomery. Who knows if it's going to get to him? Probably not. I did to the TD Garden. There's a mailing address down there. And I just told about how I host the Sports Talk radio show and you know, requested if there's any way Jim Montgomery to come on the show, because I think he's been awesome and I think this team is going to go on a great run. And I'd love to have him talk to the listeners. Yeah, I haven't heard back on that letter. Yeah, I haven't heard. Were you wondering, if you're listening right now, were you wondering if, oh my God, maybe he got a response? You know, it wouldn't have been a flat-out rejection. I sounded kind of upbeat. But whatever, if I do get a flat-out rejection, I wouldn't even get an answer, right? This is going to be one of those things, like you know, you send a Facebook message or something to somebody that you like, hey, how's it going? They don't message you back and say, not good, don't talk to me anymore, don't message me here, and they would just ignore you, right? They just would not respond to your message of, hey, how's it going? Well, you know, that's what the Bruins would do to me. They're either going to respond in the positive or they're going to just not respond at all. They're not going to be responding like with their own handwritten letter saying, hey, Slim, thanks for writing in to us, but sorry, we just don't have any time in our life for a new friend right now. They're not going to say anything like that. But I'm going to root for you, Bruins. Even if you don't come on, Jim Montgomery, I don't care. I'm going to admire you from afar. I think your coaching this season with this Bruins team has been out of this world good. And you deserve props for the position you have this team in right now, the way you've managed the goaltending situation, the way you've been a leader. I think that you deserve so much credit, and I am rooting for you to go and make it happen in the playoffs, big guy. I really am. Maybe I'll send that clip right there to Bruins management and say, hey, listen to this cut from my show today. Tag them on social media. They'll love that. I ought to do that. That's a good idea. NC State, what about your social media? Come on, baby. Give the fans what they want. DJ Burns, this guy's 6'7", I told you. Sorry, 6'10", 200. No, Mo Diarra, that's who it is. The other guy's 6'7", 275, DJ Burns. Mo Diarra, 6'10", 215 pounds. I want to dig into this Ramadan story. 6'10", 215 pounds is what he's listed at. He's Muslim in the middle of Ramadan. You know when Ramadan ends? Tuesday, April 9th, the day after the tournament championship. So Monday is the final. Ramadan ends on Tuesday, April 9th, the next day. Wouldn't that be a sick story if this guy goes through this run during Ramadan? And his team pulls together, and they knock off Purdue. Look at the run of underdogs they've been. Underdog to Marquette by like 7 points. Underdog to Duke by like 7 or 8, even though they had beaten them a couple weeks ago in the ACC tournament. My goodness. Underdog to Kentucky. First round, I think they were underdog to Texas Tech. It was a 6 seed against an 11. It wasn't Kentucky. It was Oakland, I know. They were favored over Oakland. Looking at my non-winning bracket, I was just referring to that as I was going through the teams they had defeated, and I had Kentucky here on the line. No, Kentucky did not win. But NC State has won 4 in a row, and now they're going against Purdue, a team that I just don't think has played anybody. Utah State stinks. Gonzaga was nothing special. I'm sorry. And Tennessee, they didn't have any scoring besides Dalton Knecht. He's the only guy who could score. And guess what? He got some open shots. He couldn't knock them down. And it was still a tight game. Dalton Knecht in the first half, yes, was money. Money on fire. But when you're the lead dog for a team and they're looking for you every single possession down the court, well, I'm just going to tell you, dude, that matters when you stop making shots. Like, that affects the whole team because now, like, we were running this action for you. We got you an open shot. Oh, it didn't go in. Tennessee, 72-66. Purdue beat them. I'll just say Dalton Knecht. Listen to the numbers, dude. He was 14 for 31. He took half of the team's shots. Do I know what I'm talking about or not? I didn't even look at that stats until right now. Dalton Knecht was 14 of 31 from the field. He was 6 for 12. He goes for 37. You're thrilled. Okay, you know, that's awesome. Goes for 37. But he shot 31 times. His team only shot 62 times. Dalton Knecht had 3 rebounds, 1 assist. Purdue didn't beat anybody. NC State's been beating teams for 9 games. The ACC... Look how good the ACC looks, dude. North Carolina, very good. Come on, Duke made the Elite Eight. Clemson made the Elite Eight. Looked good. Steady, strong team. That's who NC State's been playing against all year. Purdue been playing against Illinois. They lost a 30-0 run. They were leading against Connecticut, leading the game. And Connecticut went on a 30-0 run. Is that talent? Well, why didn't they open the game up 30-0? How, after whatever it was, 17 minutes, was Illinois in the lead? You know why? Because the Big Ten, dude, not as good as the ACC. It's what it boils down to. And NC State has proven they're the best in the ACC. They beat Carolina. They beat Duke twice. Ramadan. I know I saw a quote that I wanted to read to you from this Mo Diarra guy. He is being interviewed about, hey, how are you getting through all this? Well, he says, I ask God for the strength to play and not be tired. Like, he's praying. I ask God for the strength to play and not be tired. And guess what? Like, it's happening. And what's funny that nobody's going to talk about until you see it on Saturday is this. They play at 6:09 on Saturday, NC State and Purdue. But it's being played out in Arizona, right? That's where the Final Four is being held. Well, that's West Coast time. So the game's going to be playing at 3:09 West Coast time, which will be like the earliest time that Diarra could be playing. He's not drinking or eating during the daytimes, right? So the fact that his tip-off is going to be 3:09 local time for him just kind of gives, you know, a couple hours, maybe more or less, that he's playing on like an empty stomach. I mean, I would imagine that matters on some level. Come on, people. If you're starving yourself for freaking, you know, the entire days on end for a month, you're not eating or drinking at all during the daylight hours. I don't know. To be playing a little bit early in the day, probably a good thing. But what a sacrifice for this guy. He must really believe in what he's doing. And if I'm on his team, how do you think the teammates are feeling about him? And he's been playing so great. Who is Purdue going to put against Diarra is what I wonder. I mean, on the boards, I'm just saying. If Diarra wants to go and rebound, because Purdue, Edie's going to have to stay attached to DJ Burns, right? He's going to have to stay attached. He's a big man. You're going to be battling. You're constantly in contact. Then when the shot goes up, you got to box him out. Who's boxing out Diarra on Purdue? This guy's getting like 12 rebounds a game, dude. Purdue doesn't have anybody. The Gillis guy? Okay. He's your sixth man. Okay. Go ahead. I would give us the advantage all day long there. But for the starting five, nobody's boxing out Diarra. That's a definite advantage in NC State's favor. So you want to say, oh, Edie has an advantage over Burns in this game? Okay, because of the size. Okay, well, Diarra has it at the four spot. If you can knock down a three or two, all the better. This guy's just, all I'm saying is he's going through something special. The whole team is something real special, and it's worth watching that game. And that's why I've talked so much about it today, and because it's a snow day. Hopefully people are off the roads. And if you tuned in, it's probably because you're a follower of the show and you love this college basketball talk and the Bruins talk. So that's what I gave to you. Thanks for listening. Totally appreciate everybody out there. I want you to know that. We'll be back on Friday. This is the Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You got it in the right place, nhtalkradio.com.